sort of how the fee will accumulate over that 4 years, not starting until the fall of 2015. And then on the other side, are there any questions about how this table works? Okay, and then on the other side, and you've probably seen this if you've gone to any of the forums at all, this is the anticipated revenue up in the upper panel of each of those 4 years, starting in the fall of 2015. So roughly, this will generate about $3 million increase each year that the fee is going up. And then what would we do with that $3 million? We're going to identify that these new funds would be spent to enhance the quality of the education of the existing student body by increasing the number of faculty positions, to get our student-to-faculty ratio down so that there are more faculty available to work with students, and more graduate teaching assistants, because the graduate teaching assistants are the individuals who may be teaching your writing classes, they may be running the laboratories in the sciences and things of that nature. So graduate teaching assistants contribute to the capacity for undergraduate education. And then in the latter years, we will be putting some of that revenue then into experiential learning opportunities like undergraduate research and things of that nature. We will also be contributing a portion of this to Access Aid so that we can make sure that people can afford to go to school who are not able to handle these fee increases. So, and that is a Regents policy that we're following. So basically, all of the funds in this fee increase for our existing students will go to improve the quality of education that you're experiencing. Through time, this will also enhance the reputation of the university, and the better the reputation of your university, the more valuable your degree in the future. There's a very important additional point here. We are not merely asking to increase fees. We have four basic ways that we're going to enhance revenue at the university. So you will be sharing as students, if you're still around here in a couple of years, you'll be sharing this expense with increased fees. We will also be continuing to grow. So there will be new students coming, and when we have new students coming, we capture the tuition and fees that they pay, and we will also add additional faculty positions and other student support services. Shannon Ellis has given us several ideas on how we can use other funds to enhance the student services available to students as well. And that's going to come from the students, from the enhanced enrollment here, because, for example, the more students we have here, the more financial aid counselors we need. So the number of financial aid counselors will go up and be paid for by the additional students. Additionally, we are asking the state to fund more of higher education as well. And there are two sources here. We will be, in June, the Board of Regents will be asking, will be formulating their budget request for the next legislature in 2015. And they will be asking the legislature to pay the regular state formula amount of expenses for educating the growth in enrollment that we've had, the additional students we've already had here in the last 2 years. And additionally, we anticipate that the Regents are going to ask for more dollars per weighted student credit hour, which is the foundation of state formula funding. So while we are asking for increases in fees from students, we will be asking for more state funds through the governor and the legislature to support higher education. And this goes along with the basic philosophy that we've used virtually forever, and that is the students pay some, the state pays some. There's a public good element of having an educated population, and there's a personal gain to each of you for getting an education and improving your income earning capabilities in the future. So that's sort of what I wanted to tell you, but I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have for however long your speaker would allow.
I'm glad you guys have questions. We'll start with Senator Jonas.
So during last legislative session of the VAT, there was a trend towards the state formula being modified to send more funds down south based on the formula that benefited UNLV more so than the University of Nevada. I guess I'm just asking the specifics on the plan to lobby the legislature and asking for more funds for higher education. Is there also a plan or to combat the trend of increased fund or the formula being modified to support more money being taken from the Reno area brought down south?
We'll be talking about that when the legislature comes back to town. The way the formula is set up right now really favors the University of Nevada, Reno. It favors any campus that is growing in the number of students here and is growing in the number of credit hours generated through teaching. And therefore, our position on the formula is you changed it last time, you moved your money, that was a one-time deal. Stay with the formula because now we're gaining from the formula because we're one of the fastest growing institutions in the state. So if they'll stay with the formula, we will get a significant increase in the amount of state funds coming to support this university. In other words, we don't want them to jimmy the accounts to make money go south when we're generating it here but with our increased enrollment. So the formula is going to be working in our favor hereafter as long as it doesn't change and as long as we're growing.
Great. Thank you.
Senator Christensen?
At the top of this sheet, it says that this is a preliminary expenditure plan. Under what circumstances might this change, and how solid would your team be considered this to be?
You can erase the preliminary audit because we have already submitted this to the Regents. And the Regents like this expenditure plan. They recognize that it takes us to our goals of building our faculty base, reducing our student-to-faculty ratio, which enhances the quality of education. And the Regents have also said if they vote for this fee increase in June, it will be an extreme disaster before these fee rates will change any time in the next four-year period. Because the Regents have a philosophical position, that they want to create a set of fees that will be predictable for families. So when they're looking ahead to 4 years of education, how can I be sure that these rates are stable? And the Regents have made it clear through a resolution that they've passed saying, if we vote for these rates, they're sticking. They're not going up anytime in the next 4 years unless there's an absolute emergency.
Senator Brownstein?
Though I admit that increasing the student-to-faculty ratio is incredibly important, or about decreasing the student-to-faculty ratio is important, what is the proportion per college that the new faculty of GAs will be assigned?
I'll tell you how we do those. We don't have a set proportion. We've been through two rounds recently of increasing faculty positions and increasing graduate teaching assistant positions. And we just put out a call to the deans and the department chairs to tell us what they need. We distribute these resources based on a request for proposal approach. And that is, rather than us sitting around and using some formula or us trying to figure out where positions go, we let the departments and the colleges make a case for, we've had such rapid growth in our number of students, we need more professors in order to handle the classes. Good reason. Or we are working with another college to develop a new program, like in cybersecurity or unmanned autonomous systems or something. Those are good reasons. So we don't predict where they will go. We try to identify the volume of new resources available, and then we let the information bubble up from those where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and it informs us greatly where the greatest needs on the campus are.
Senator Green?
You talked about projected growth. Can you tell us where you expect it to go? And would this increase also stop that projected growth? So it's a two-part question.
There are two good parts. We project, 3 years ago we projected that given our growth, we would continue to grow about 2% a year. And we did that in the year 2011. So if you grow 2% a year continuously from 2011 to 2021, we would reach 22,000 students. So basically, that's a planning target. In actuality, the first year, we grew 2%. The second year, we grew 2%. This year, we grew 3.2%. So now we're accelerating. We may get to that projected number earlier than we anticipated. Second part of the question, does that mean we're going to cap our enrollment at 22,000? No. We don't have any plans to do that. It may go on beyond that, but we wanted a 10-year planning target so that we could look at resource allocation.
I think you misunderstood my second part of the question. It was, since we have this continued growth already, do you think that by increasing the tuition, it's going to stop that growth?
Oh, no, I really don't.
Okay, why not?
Because it's a 4% growth is not going to put us very high on the tuition amounts that are experienced in Western states. This will put us in about the middle of the Western states, and those other campuses like Washington State, Oregon, the California schools, Arizona, they're more expensive schools, and they're not declining in enrollment. So we don't think, what we're doing with this fee increase is sort of coming up to the median of what other schools are charging. So we would not, that's an elasticity of demand question. What's the responsiveness of students coming as a result of fees? And since our fees are less than the median of Western colleges, those colleges are still growing, we would not anticipate with empirical evidence that this level of fees would stymie that enrollment increase.
Senator Dominguez?
Thank you for your presentation. My question is revolving the access aid you mentioned. Would that be separate from, say, like Nevada Safe Grants? It's more of just entailing, you know, the new policy that came through. Would the access aid be necessarily for incoming students or continuing students?
No, it's available to both incoming and continuing students. You're closer to that. You can say exactly where it goes.
It will be in addition to the state grant aid, and we have a little bit more flexibility with it,
okay,
to be honest. So it's not as regulated, which is a good thing.
And the regions have a policy that they want all of our campuses to put a certain portion of increased fees into the access aid account.
Senator Mack? Senator Ramirez?
So my question is, so with the new NSHE policy with the 15 credit minimum to receive need-based aid, how are we going to combat that right now with a lot of classes that do fill up?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends aren't able, a lot of my constituents, they weren't able to enroll in certain classes because they already capped off. And with the 15 credit minimum, they're taking astronomy classes or classes that don't apply to their majors. How are we going to combat that within the next few years?
That's a really good question.
The most important thing is that they get in to talk to someone in an academic advising capacity who has the flexibility to replace those classes with ones that will apply towards their major. Our course concierge system is really critical so that they are staying on track with those classes. The other piece is, I know you guys are doing this, get on those wait lists, because there's a lot of movement between now and when classes start in August. So don't give up yet. But so that would be the first two things. If it gets so bad that we haven't been able to find a class for you that fits with your requirements, then we do have a process where we could let you have the aid at 12 credits this semester, but you have to promise to pick up the balance of it in the semester after that to the best of your ability. So I think the biggest thing is getting in with your advisor and saying, you know, astronomy is interesting, but it's not going to help me get out of here in 4 years. And then we have a job to do for students. And if you, the more you can convey that to students, the better. But going on the webpage, just type in course concierge, and they'll know who to go to get with me. Is that
We had a difficulty with like a lot of the people coming here for chemical engineering.
Right.
They weren't able to do any of the mechanics class because all the like middle level mechanical engineers were in there. So we had to open up a new section.
Good.
I talked to a couple of my professors and they were
good. And now's the perfect, thank you, that's a great example. And now's the perfect time in almost May because we have time to do it, not in August. And we're much better at that. A couple of years ago, we were scrambling in July. So, yeah, we want to know this. Your dean needs to know it.
But you say the college did open up another section as a result of the demand.
I talked to a few professors, and they had like a section open up.
Good.
So.
Power.
Yeah.
That's being a responsive college, but the students themselves have to take a role in that to say, I really need this, and be active in talking to advisors.
So we don't assume we know. I mean, we should, but we don't.
So do you think that would be the best way to approach that? Because there's a lot of people in classes that do fill up, right now it's like middle and everyone's trying to get into those like basic classes to get into their high level classes. How do you think the best way to combat that would be to tell like my friends and all adult constituents in engineering?
If you're in engineering, they should go to the advisors in engineering and tell them, we got shut out of this, and if I'm going to stay on my 4-year path, we got to have these courses. These are very specific courses, I know, for engineering. It's not like astronomy versus a sociology class.
Yeah.
These are very specific pathway courses for the engineering degree. They really need to communicate with the advisor in the college. Yeah.
And I would add, the president wants this, if you don't get what you need, then you go to the dean. And if you don't get what you need, then you go to the provost, because they're committed to pathways.
Yeah. Awesome.
Don't do that.
Senator Brownstein, did you have a question?
Yes. Enrollment is increasing, but how much is out-of-state enrollment increasing? Is that showing a promise as well?
Yes, it is. Significant promise. We have two, I'll say we have two forms of out-of-state enrollment. One of those is very strong students come in through the Western University Exchange, and we have really good students from the Western region coming here. They are strong students, they have high graduation rates, and they pay 1.5 times what you pay as a in-state student. And then, are you on the WUI program?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then we have a growing attraction to students who don't fulfill the requirements for the Western University Exchange, and we have an increasing number of students who are coming paying the full out-of-state tuition, which is out-of-staters paying full tuition will pay all of the registration fees that our resident students pay, plus a $13,000 a year out-of-state tuition charge. And so we're increasing attraction to out-of-staters, and that's helping our revenue as well.
Senator Feenstra.
I had a point of clarification question for Dr. Ellis. Are you still requiring student employees in the student services divisions to take 15 credits from here on out?
In enrollment services and in my office, yeah, you have to be carrying 15 credits. In the student life area, new hires need to be carrying 15 credits.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, this is we've been really encouraging 4-year graduations for some time, and now the entire Nevada system of higher education is encouraging four-year graduations for four-year colleges, two-year graduations for community colleges. It encourages people to finish their degree and move on into the workforce, into graduate school, professional school, or whatever.
Senator Ramirez?
So my other question is, as the university expands with like the students attending, how do we plan on expanding the university as a whole? So like adding extra residence halls, adding extra like services buildings, buildings for like specific classes and majors.
Right. That's a very important question, which we've been asking ourselves. So we have done a capacity study. One of the reasons we've projected our growth is so we know what to plan for in the next 10 years. And that has caused us to, Vice President Ellis, it caused the housing office to say, so how many rooms do we need for freshmen? And now we have the next three residence halls on the planning board, one under construction over on Sierra, below south of Argenta. And then we looked at graduate student growth, and we've just knocked down our 40 units and for the graduate students, and we're putting up 132 units so that we can grow in our capacity to handle our graduate students and families. So, and then we've looked very carefully at the number of classrooms we have, the faculty offices that we have. If we grow faculty, we have to have places to put them in offices and the like. So we're planning the need for lots of office spaces, lots of research labs. We have a couple of buildings on our next few years planning, which would include a second arts building to lie between church, fine arts, and journalism, and a new engineering building, which would probably lie east of Davidson. Math and science. So we're planning for growth in many dimensions.
Senator Crook?
I know that there were programs cut at the beginning of the recession. So this is like a two-part question. Have all those programs been brought back? And if not, will adding more faculty allow some of those programs to be brought back?
And the answer to that is no. We made a commitment when times were good, university broadened out, and we had like interior design with one faculty member, and we had other programs with very few faculty members, so we were very thin. And actually, there are many fields on this campus that were very thin in terms of expertise. So we made a commitment that those programs that closed will not return, and that as our faculty, so the students that we are attracting now are being attracted into the programs that we still have here. Therefore, we need to hire faculty to deepen the quality of the program and to expand the size of the programs for the programs that we preserved, because those are the ones that are attracting the students now. So we're not going to go broad again. We found out we made a mistake by going broad. We're going to get deeper and better in the majors that currently exist.
Senator Ramirez.
Okay, so one more question. So how do we plan on like increasing student jobs or like work study and all that? Like with the increase in tuitions, like how do we plan on like just increasing the work study?
For work study, I have to turn to work study.
I think the most important thing is the piece of the growth request, the capacity study, meaning how many more student jobs will this create? If Pennington Building is going to be open until late in the evening, so you know that's going to mean more jobs for students to help us out with those extended hours. As we're looking at, we're going to have more veterans, we're going to have more student disabilities, more students of color, more student employees in those areas to help mentor and advise students. So the capacity study also talked about operating dollars, which is what we take our student employee money on. And we love work study students because they're cheaper.
You get paid, but we have grants to help.
Yeah.
To many hard copies?
So it's a great question because we're always, and you guys are always good about asking this, how many more student jobs are going to come out of this? How many more? And yes, we couldn't run this place without students.
Yeah. I'd mention two more areas. She didn't mention the fitness center. Mm-hmm. Every fitness center I've ever seen has lots of student workers in there helping out. Mm-hmm. Everything from checking people in to actually offering exercise classes and the like, which are paid jobs. These faculty positions we're bringing in, they're all going to be tenure track, and we expect all the tenure track faculty not only to teach, but do their scholarship, because we promise when you come to a research university that you get to take classes from people who are actively involved in their disciplines. Well, if we add 80 more faculty here, plus additional faculty from some of these other sources, and all of these faculty are expected to do scholarship. If you're in the sciences or psychology, you're expected to get grant dollars. And when the more grant dollars we bring in, the more opportunities there will be to hire undergraduates for undergraduate research labs and things like that. So there are many places we can create opportunities for student jobs.
May I ask one more question? So sure. One of my professors, he still has, like, he's still working on, like, getting grant money for his, like, laboratory, and he still hasn't received, like, the grant money that he needs for those, like, lab positions. And, like, how do we plan on, like, just, like, allocating the money properly to, like, the, each professor and making sure they get the right funding for their labs?
Well, professors do get some money to start on, most particularly in engineering and the sciences, do lab sciences or field sciences, they will get a startup package. And they'll get some amount of money to buy the equipment they need, hire some graduate students or some undergraduate students to get the work started so that they can do the basic data collection necessary to prove a concept that they can then write a good grant and be competitive in the national market. So that's what we call the startup funds. They have up to 3 years to spend those funds, and then hopefully by the end of 3 years they'll get grants to carry on for the rest of their career.
Senator Brownstein?
So with the expansion or proposed expansion of three more residence halls, will anything happen to the nationally recognized historic landmark Lincoln Residence Hall?
I would say that they're extremely safe.
The reason I ask that question is I read some proposals for what the tuition increase will bring, and I read that Manzanita and Lincoln will be decommissioned from residence halls and turned into something else. I just want to confirm or deny that.
Well, I won't do either one, because we're very sensitive to the seismic risk in Manzanita and Lincoln halls. The first part of your question is, the iconic architecture of those buildings will not go away. It's not like we're going to tear them down or anything of that nature. So what we're going through an evaluation right now about what would be required to firm up these buildings if they're going to remain as residence halls, and if it's way, way too expensive, then we'll have to build new residence halls and use some of the older buildings for office spaces, because our lives are much less important than the students' lives. No, seriously, the concern about residence halls is they're occupied 24 hours a day. And most of the office buildings around here are occupied less than that many hours during the day. And it's not like you're going to be surprised while you're sleeping. If there's an earthquake, you can immediately jump up and do something to protect yourself. So all I can say is the facades of Lincoln and Manzanita are not going away. What their future utilization will be, we have under consideration.
Speaking of another question.
Sure.
Can I pose a scenario for you?
Sure.
With this 15 credit every semester with financial aid, plan. What will happen if we have a graduating senior, they've taken all their classes, and the last semester they only need 6 or 9 credits, but they need financial aid, which they cannot receive due
due to not having 15 credits, so they're stuck in the last semester without being able to graduate. What would happen in that scenario?
Well, we do have that scenario on rare occasion, and then you just go to see the director of financial aid and lay it out, and you'll get taken care of if you're still eligible for financial aid.
So it's one of those special cases. At the end of term, you need 6 more credits. There will be, in some cases, federal restrictions. You have to have so many hours to be eligible for aid. But what Dr. Ellis just said, they'll be, they have the potential of being flexible. If you run up to the end of your program, you're fulfilled, you're ready to graduate, and you don't need 15 credits. Mm-hmm.
That would be a nice, I would love those scenarios. That would be wonderful.
Senator Jonas?
The first one is just a quick clarification on about a prepaid tuition. Is this going to have any effect on that?
If you're in prepaid tuition?
Or for future students, or I guess.
Well, when we raise fees, the treasurer of the state will charge more at today's rates. But then those today's rates, if a parent buys the prepaid plan when their child is 1 year old, then they will get, they will have paid these rates for the whatever the cost of college is 17 years down the line.
If I may, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a quick answer because I assumed you answered it when you answered Senator Crook's question about the expansion of breadth. My specific question was to the limited scope of our agricultural program and it being a requirement for our land-grant university, and I know, speaking with a lot of individuals, because of the specializations elsewhere, they're forced to get a, because it's such a specific field. Is there, I guess by your answer, is there any difference from the answer of no expansion in breadth? Is that applied to agriculture also?
Well, let me modify the answer for evolution. Okay, so we just created a minor in unmanned autonomous systems. I couldn't even say that 5 years ago. But it's new, and it's very important for the state because we were designated by the Federal Aviation Administration as one of 6 sites to pursue the testing of unmanned aerial vehicles. So our engineering program and business program has responded to that. So they're still like mechanical engineering, but they're going to modify what they do to be modern times. You have a basic agricultural program, but you have not had the last few years any agronomists. You've been really limited on soil science and the like. We have a new dean. He has some great visions for some different kinds of programs within the degrees in agriculture. So certainly we want to modify and be modern in the future, but I'm just saying we're not going back into interior design. We're not going back to teach a major in German unless there's a huge turnaround in demand for those fields. So there will certainly be evolution in the programs that we offer.
Thank
you. Senator Christensen?
For the purpose of establishing the need for this tuition increase, what has been the operating margin of the university for the last few years? Have we been in the red, and if so, to what extent?
We have never had an unbalanced budget. What we've had to do through time is not hire back a lot of the people we needed to hire. Our faculty went for 3 years with 4.8% salary cuts. 2.5% pay cuts were restored. Now everybody is operating on 6 days of furlough, which basically we're all operating on 2.3% cut. We haven't had any raises since FY10, FY9.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah. Fiscal year 2009, which was summer of 2000. Yeah, that's it. From 2000, summer of 2008 to the spring of 2009. That's how we've been balancing our budget, is with salary cuts, laying people off, limiting the number of the level of service available, and that sort of thing. But if we're obligated to not go in the red. So we have not been making any profit these last few years. So our margin, what we can put away in reserves to save in case of difficult times or something, are razor thin.
Are there any final questions? Senator Brunstein?
I have two, if that's okay, Speaker.
Sure.
First one should be quick. It's with the hiring of new faculty, is it going to be a mixture of tenure track faculty, or is it going to be mostly all tenure track or none at all?
Or what?
Or none at all.
They're going to all be tenure track.
All tenure track?
Because the tenure track folks have the responsibility to fulfill all the missions of the university.
Thank you. And the next question, when you go to the state legislature to propose more budget for the Nevada system of higher education, do you have an exact plan of what you're going to ask for, and what does that mean?
We will join the Board of Regents and all the rest of the institutions in the state, and we will all be asking for the same thing. What we're asking, and we've already been asking the chancellor to put our needs on his list. He's put his list together, and in June we're going to go to the Board of Regents and say, here's the whole package, would you support it? What we're asking for is to join the rest of the state to have the state put in enough finance for personnel that we can get rid of these furloughs that have caused everybody to have a pay cut for these last few years. We are going to ask them to hold steady with the formula that was passed last year, because we gain a lot by that, because our student enrollment has continued to grow, and if they stay with the formula, as I said before, we will be rewarded for that growth. Then we will be asking for more dollars per credit hour from the state. So it's a reinvestment at a higher level from the state government in support of higher education. We will also be asking across the two universities for some additional support for the medical school, so that we can actually create some graduate medical opportunities here, because we know empirically that the more graduate opportunities we have for medical doctors in Nevada will cause the doctors that we train to stay in Nevada. So our reason for being here in the medical school is to train doctors for Nevada. And we need to plus that up in order to keep more doctors here.
Thank you.
Senator Ramirez?
So with an increase in like students, could that also mean like an increase, like ASUM is $5 per credit per student? Does that mean that ASUM might be able to get a little bit more as the university keeps on expanding? Does that be, would we be able to receive a little bit more, throw better programs to facilitate all these activities a lot better?
The ASUN fee is a separate mandatory fee that is proposed by you to the fee committee of the university, and then we have to propose that at the December meeting of a board. So there, just because we increase registration fees for classes, there's nothing automatic that goes to ASUN. It would be a separate mandatory fee that the students would have to support. And then if that fee was raised, those funds would go directly to your accounts.
Yeah, so essentially that would be up to us. Any other questions? All right.
I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate your thoughtful questions.
Thank you. I'm sure Senator Christensen will be contacting you regarding the resolution moving forward from here.
Okay.
Right. Is there any further public comment at this time? All right, seeing none, we'll move to agenda item 7, reports of ASUN officers. President of the Associated Students, Jake Pereira.
All right, guys, a brief report for you tonight. I'll pass these around. First off, I'd like to go over the Board of Regents special meeting that I attended last week. At this meeting, we discussed items pertinent to the NCHE as a whole. Some of that was the operating budget for the next biennial for fiscal year 15 through 17, as well as capital improvements at all NCHE institutions, appointment of the interim president at Western Nevada College, the employment contract of the UNLV basketball coach, and there was a discussion with tuition and fees as well. It was nice to see some of the perspective from other university presidents as well as the regents, including President Johnson. Next, the university tutoring services. We had a meeting where we got to hear the proposals for the writing center, the math center, the tutoring center, and the performing arts center. With that and the presentations, the board decided to give a 2% increase to all the centers. These funds may be insufficient for further operation without charging to students, which is what we're hearing from some of the center heads. So Vice President Bybee and I are looking into partnerships to where we could possibly subsidize some of those costs for students. Lastly, the fiscal year 15 budget has been sent out to the speaker as well as the chair of budget and finance. I've asked them to forward that out to you guys on my behalf. From my understanding, that will be referred to the budget and finance committee for further action.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Brownstein.
Concerning the 2% increase to all centers, I want to say it was last year, $50,000 was found to give to extra, like $50,000 was given all around to the writing, tutoring, and math centers.
Right.
But the math center used $50,000 via the IT department to upgrade their computer lab as opposed to taking the fee from wherever that money came from. However, this 2% increase, I think, refers to the increase without the $50,000 from the IT department, while the other centers get the 2% with the $50,000. Now, I know that's a huge discrepancy, and that messes with a lot of student wages, especially since the operating budget of the mass center is 98% student wages. will that $50,000 be included in the mass center, even though they went with the IT department instead?
That wasn't something from my discussions, Dr. Ellis.
It wasn't in there either, yeah. It wasn't included in what they presented to us.
That would be a question I could follow up with them on. The center that had the most concern as far as funding was the tutoring center. They had a tough time operating within their budget over the last fiscal year, so I know the math center's budget is a little bit more in line. Mm-hmm. But that's something I could double-check with them about.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice President of the Associated Students, Alex Bybee.
Good evening. I'll go ahead and start with a meeting that President Prayer and I have with Provost Carmen on April 22nd. Senator Brownstein asked a question to President Johnson earlier about the student-to-faculty ratio and about ensuring, you know, equitably distributing the new faculty across colleges. And so at a meeting with both Drs. Johnson and Ellis, we had discussed for possible student representation on the committees that received the request for proposals for consideration of new faculty across the colleges, and so Provost Carmen is considering that proposal. There were legitimate concerns expressed. You have a student on the committee that is from the political science department. There will probably exist some biases in wanting more faculty for the College of Liberal Arts, and so we're sort of discussing ways that we can ensure that there is student representation, but that student moves forward objectively in considering those requests. Also, we discussed the undergraduate research program, since that's a project that we work with the provost's office on. And of course, with the new tuition and fee increase proposal, a lot of that money, or a lot of that increase in revenue, is going to be appropriated to undergraduate research. On April 25th, we attended a meeting for Wolfpack Welcome to discuss orientation and about the events that ASUN is hosting that week, so that we can ensure that there's not a lot of competition, if you will, between events across campus. And so just a matter of scheduling and ensuring we have high attendance at that. Further, I've been in meetings with Director Kokas or Assistant Director Kokas to discuss orientation and talk about ASUN's approach to that this year. In the past, we've done a PowerPoint presentation in these chambers. Hasn't been too effective, hasn't been too engaging. You consider orientation, some of you may remember, it's PowerPoint after PowerPoint after PowerPoint. And so we're discussing new methods for that, perhaps doing an interactive tour component in the ASUN offices. We really think that if we can get this new group of students that are coming in to see the offices and to feel comfortable in that space, that we can really fulfill our vision to be a center for student engagement, making the space feel welcoming and comfortable for all students. attended meeting on the 25th for the selection of the editor-in-chief of the Brush Fire, and those proceedings went well. Had a meeting with Wolfpack Radio this past week to discuss their vision, talk about their budget justification, sort of understanding what are your needs, what are the services we need to fund this upcoming year, which all of you will be reviewing in the budget that we've proposed. met with Dr. Urban, who leads the tutoring center. President Pereira briefly touched upon sort of the conversations that are going on about a subsidy for the tutoring center. What we've discussed is the tutoring center compiles a report every year of the data of the visits they get. About 30% of those are students that are Pell eligible, and so should ASUN be unable to fully pay for, and essentially what they're looking at is a four-session package for $20. And so rather than charging students the full $10 an hour that would cost the student wage for the tutor, they're looking at 50%, so four sessions at $20. And so on our end, we're going to get figures from the tutoring center for what it would cost both to fund the appointments entirely, and if that's not feasible for us, then we're also going to get a figure at what it would cost to fund the 30% of the students who are Pell eligible. And once those numbers come, we'll have conversations about senators that may be interested in sponsoring legislation. Had a meeting this morning with the chief information officer who was hired not too long ago with Speaker Fabian. We sort of discussed on our end some concerns that students have expressed. Of course, I think Wi-Fi infrastructure across campus is a concern, particularly in the Knowledge Center. And so we expressed that, and she is going to look into the possibility of purchasing some more infrastructure to support that. And certainly, if not, just bring the attention to her staff. Also, we discussed the potential for EDU email addresses for students. Have to sit down with President Pereira. Of course, capital expenditures must be approved by the President and then considered by the Senate. But they're looking for that program to be funded by the Provost's Office, by the Alumni Association, by their office, and ASUN. And so we'd have to work out some numbers and see what our, the amount of appropriation that would be. But the justification is, of course, EDU email addresses have enormous benefits for current students, Amazon Prime discounts, all sorts of discounts, et cetera. And further, for alumni, as our university looks to fundraising efforts, well, you don't have to worry about people's emails changing every year. You have emails for alumni for the rest of their lives. We have ways to contact them, both for fundraising efforts and for outreach and ensuring we get turnout at our alumni events. Finally, just been in budget meetings with President Pereira, looking at budget justifications to ensure that the budget we propose to you has numbers that are informed and not arbitrary, of course. We've been in retreat planning meetings as well, so we'll be sharing that with you shortly, the itinerary and everything, so it'll be a great time. And of course, next Friday I've planned a meeting with all of the chairs of Senate committee so that we can discuss the upcoming year to sort of fulfill the obligation of liaising between the executive and legislative branches. And that concludes my report.
Any questions for the Vice President? All right, Senator Ramirez.
So with orientation, have you talked to Harry Critter and Karen?
Yeah, so actually both of those individuals were the ones that headed the meeting on April 25th. Essentially that meeting, again, was bringing employees from departments across campus and sort of having a consolidated schedule so we can understand those conflicts, and so they were in charge of that meeting.
Any other questions? Thank you. Attorney General Stephen Kish.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today my report will really consist of two parts. First is the letter of the law. As I'm sure you've all heard, know, or read, there are some fairly big procedures and processes coming up in the weeks to come. Then second, I'm going to be talking about the spirit of the law, something that I don't often do because it risks traversing into personal opinion, but in this instance, I feel like that's an important contribution I can give each and every one of you. So first and foremost is the letter of the law, the way procedurally this will work. Next week is a hearing. You all can, by simple majority, impeach the president of the Associated Students, and it will go to a trial chaired by Chief Justice Robert Del Carlo. At that trial, by a two-thirds vote, you can convict the president, and then by another two-thirds vote, select the punishment of either censure, so a letter of apology published in the Sagebrush, removal from office, or removal from office with prejudice, so that he would be unable to hold ASU in office while at this university. Ultimately, I would caution all of you against coalition building or a standing quorum between now and then. Next week will be purely fact-finding, will be much more preliminary in nature to decide if you want to continue on from there. It is the trial where many more witnesses, the evidence will be presented in full. So with that, the charges are largely, if you read the assenting opinion, the question of lying while campaigning about his associations. And this is where I'll get a little bit more into the spirit of the law. Really, the way this case needs to operate is not if you agree with any organization, not if you like the president as a person, like his political views, like what he's doing. It's whether or not he can fully discharge the duties of his office, whether his character will be an impediment to that, and where exactly his priorities are. Consider all this, because it is not, will not, should not be personal. Is not, should not, will not include proceedings outside of ASUN. You all have been elected to hold each other accountable. I was appointed to hold the association accountable, and we can all ensure the integrity of this association. But keep in mind that this is first and foremost a classroom. It is a learning experience. And so moving forward with these procedures, I will not tell you which way to vote, but keep in mind the learning process that you all can undergo as you continue with the potential for impeachment, the learning process the president can undergo, because I know I myself was sent to oversight at the beginning of or midway through first semester this school year, and there was tremendous benefit to that. So don't go in, don't think of this as a witch hunt, don't think of it as you're out for blood. Keep in mind, you do not, solely because it has made it this far, have to impeach them. Keep in mind, just because the Judicial Council has recommended the president for an impeachment process, it does not mean you have to impeach him. And if he is impeached, it does not mean you have to remove him from office. So you have a lot to consider. I'm sure there will be a variety of viewpoints, a variety of things brought to the table. Decide it ultimately for yourself, but you can see a lot of the personal growth that's been taking place. A lot of what has happened has put this Senate session and the president under a microscope. So proceed with caution, proceed the way the legal documents are laid out and the current process is established. And then that process is something you can visit as a Senate session next week or in the weeks to come to establish in the SAS exactly how this will work. Because thus far, my opinions have only been cursory and do not effectively bear the same weight that your legislation does. It is solely a way to interpret what has happened, and a lot of unprecedented events have transpired in the formation of these opinions. So keep that in mind, and if any of you have questions, you can ask me now, ask me in person, ask me via email. You can, quote-unquote, hit me up on Facebook. It's fine. Do you all have any questions for me at this time?
Senator Christensen?
Who has the power in these proceedings to call witnesses?
Ultimately, any party to this case, namely the president, would be able to call witnesses on his behalf. The judicial council, or you all, can, by and large, subpoena somebody to come and testify if you need information. I know I myself, considering I was the one that filed these charges, will not be calling witnesses, and I would, or plan on, testifying as little as possible so as to put the decision in your hands, because ultimately, I would like to distance myself from this, because the, personal, not stake I have in it, but the fact that it originated from me, and this is not a personal endeavor, this is not a personal matter, it's one of the integrity of this office, and it is one of President Pereira's ability to discharge the duties of his office. So when it comes to witnesses, you all will have the option of calling individuals, you all will have the option of questioning individuals, and the Chief Justice will be able to bring forth witnesses, although he will not be taking place in the trial.
Senator Jonas?
Is there going to be an attorney general in your stead? And would there be one for advising in our next meeting, the dead day meeting?
Currently, there is an injunction to stay any and all appointments coming from the Office of the President until this is figured out. So there's no need for an attorney general in my stead, as I'll be around. I'm more than ready and willing to advise any and all of you on questions of law, to give my interpretation to an extent of the spirit of the law. I will stop at telling you how to vote.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move to agenda item 8, report of the Senate committees. So for this, announce your vice chair, talk about some of your goals for the committee, et cetera. So we'll start with academic, Senator Golest.
So we had our meeting at 4 o'clock today. Our new vice chair is Senator Ramirez. Our goals for the semester are to help the scholarship committee, to get somebody on the faculty senate, promote undergraduate research journals, get more info from NG about the 15 to finish, and hopefully make a resolution about that. Also contact Central Advising, core curriculum committee, and maybe some core advisory groups, and we're looking into partnering with University Affairs with a major/scholarship exploration day.
Awesome. Budget and Finance, Senator Warner.
We elected Senator Brooke as our vice chair. And then we discussed some goals, like such as like just we want to make sure that we're allocating the budget appropriately and properly. We want to be sure that we're fiscally responsible. And we want to continue to encourage students, whether they're currently going to the school or whether they're incoming students, to go to the Wolf Shop just to make sure they know that the money spent in the Wolf Shop goes back to them. Also, we want to make sure that the events that are getting money are executed properly, and make sure people know about them, and make sure that the outreach for those events is successful. Also, we want to make sure that we get to the teachers or the professors in time, so that they can send out their book requests in time, so that students can get the maximum refund for their books possible. So.
Thank you. Civic engagement, Senator Farabee. Is the Vice Chair of Government Operations here? Senator Brooke, would you mind giving a report?
So, I was obviously elected Vice Chair of Government Operations. I'm assuming Senator Beam wrote down everyone's goals. I was not aware he would not be here, so I can ask him if he could send me what these goals were. If I recall correctly, we focused on trying to increase engagement, student engagement in ASUN, trying to get more people to become involved, whether it's elections, trying to hold office, you have it, trying to at least get more people to be involved. We discussed possibly exploring, I'm not saying pursuing, but at least exploring the options of a bicameral legislature within ASUN. I feel like I may be missing a few goals that other senators may have spoken against. If any of you have anything please go ahead.
I think that'll do for now.
Okay.
Committee on Public Affairs, Senator Christensen.
We elected our vice chair, Senator Brownstein, as well as...
Who elected your vice chair?
Huh?
Who elected your vice chair?
I elected my vice chair because everyone present decided to run. If you want to read the most awkward minutes ever, I had a conversation with myself about the vice chair. But we discussed goals. The primary discussion was centered around the resolution that we will be drafting regarding the tuition increase. We were primarily brainstorming ideas for information that we believe will be useful to us in writing that legislation. We also discussed the potential of creating a democracy plaza, which is something that exists on other universities, so we will be looking into that in the future. We began to discuss the Veterans Breakfast and throw around ideas for how we can reach out to veterans better to attendance. I see Thomas reading forward. We actually talked about your meetings. Later. We discussed bringing more information about ballot measures that will be coming up in 2014 to the campus and providing more information to students so that we can make students more aware of what's going on in the state government. And only just before the meeting got access to our legacy binder, so we'll actually be discussing that at our next meeting. But there are a couple of pieces of legislation that I've seen in there that we're going to be discussing in the future as to whether or not we'll want to pursue attempting to get those passed.
Awesome. University Affairs, Senator Feenstra.
All right, we elected our vice chair, Senator Crook, and then we appointed our liaison positions, and since Senator Mack and Senator Jonas were absent, excused, and Senator Mercurius was tardy, excused, they missed that portion of the meeting, but one of our goals is to expand liaison positions, and there's a ton that can be filled, so we will hopefully get to those next meeting. A lot of our goals, pretty much everyone said that they want to bring more attention to the underutilized resources that we have on this campus. We also are going to partner with academics on Major Exploration Day and continue to focus on programs to improve athletic attendance, which I know was something that they were pushing last session. The Legacy Binder is coming at some point, so hopefully we'll get to work with that soon.
Yes. And as for oversight, we had a meeting last week, right? Yeah. All right, so we had a meeting. It's been a long week. We had a meeting last week. After Senate, we discussed in depth some of the goals that the chairs have for the committees, as well as the purpose of the committee on oversight, what we're going to try and do this year. Next oversight meeting, I'm looking at having, I'm not sure how long the meeting will be next Wednesday. I'm looking at having oversight before Senate, perhaps at 5 o'clock or at some point before Senate. Would that work for everybody if we had Senate at 5:30? It's dead day, so I figure most of you guys will be pretty open, right? Mm-hmm. No. How busy are you? What do you have going on today?
The academic workshop.
Oh. What time are you going to be?
I'm setting it up at like 5.
Okay.
It's before 5. Yeah.
Would it be more beneficial for you guys to have Senate next Wednesday at like 9 in the morning?
No.
Yes. No. 10 in the morning? 11 in the morning, Senator Sung?
Can it be earlier but not at like 9 in the morning?
Perhaps. Senator Green?
I have a previous engagement at noon.
Okay.
So I was pretty set on 5:30.
Okay, that's fine. Senator Feenstra?
Senator Mack and I have the end of year Joe meeting from 1 to 3.
Okay. I figured there would just be some stuff going on, so for now we'll plan on 5:30 here and oversight beforehand at 5. All right, so we'll move on to agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Awesome. Seeing none, we'll now move into agenda item 11F, Senate committee changes. I know we have a couple, so Senator Green.
I move to have myself removed from the Committee of Academics and placed on the Committee of Civic Engagement because I have ideas that I feel that would help benefit my goals and the goals of the 82nd session.
Is there a second? Senator Brownstein?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of moving Senator Green from the Committee on Academics to the Committee on Civic Engagement, please designate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Are there any other Senate committee changes at this time? Senator Sun.
I would like to make a motion to remove myself from the Committee on University Affairs and place myself on the Committee of Government Operations. I feel other people want to be on this committee more than I do and would be able to do a better job.
Is there a second, Senator Brownstein? Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of moving Senator Sun from the Committee on University Affairs to the Committee on Government Operations, please designate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Are there any other committee changes? Senator Ramirez.
I would like to add Senator Benford onto the Committee of University Affairs.
Okay. Can you motion? Like
I move. I move to... Move Senator Benford, to the Committee of University Affairs.
All right, is that just going to be an additional committee, or are you going to switch? Okay. Is there a second? Senator Jonas?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of moving Senator Benford to the Committee on University Affairs, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. We'll now move into agenda item 19A, WTF Nevada ASUN. Senator Craig.
So this is going to be kind of long, so bear with me. Just updates for previous projects. Senator Brownstein has emailed Parking Services 90. We're still waiting for to hear back from them. Speaker Fabi got the work order submitted and completed, and also pulled up the previous response to the issue regarding widening the walkway between the Raggio and Reynolds School of Journalism. And Senator Dominguez got the Knowledge Center policies and got his issue put onto the KC On-Site User Experience Committee's agenda, so he'll be following up with them later. So I have 11 old issues from the last session ready to reassign, and I'm still waiting to hear back from senators for the remaining 7 issues that still haven't been wrapped up. Most of these issues are following up. The senators did what they could, but the issues were never brought to completion, so most of these are just going to be basic. You'll follow up to make sure it was actually done. So they should be pretty easy. One is libraries need more NADME models. Lexi Jacobson got the libraries to commit to ordering them. So this person, whoever takes this on, should be responsible for following up to make sure the models were ordered.
Awesome. Senator Dominguez? Yeah. Sorry. I didn't realize there isn't it.
My bad. Can I just confirm now, by now, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they have been, because I like work in library services, so there's a ton of new models available.
Okay, awesome. Perfect. Next is fixing and replacing washers and dryers in Nye Hall. This is another one where the center pursued it, but we don't know if it's ever completed.
I can pursue that if you'd like.
Okay, awesome.
We'll go downstairs. And just some background on that one as well. I know that someone met with Chris Stevenson regarding that, and they said that there was going to be a company coming in at some point. We never really got a follow-up from that. So.
It was Wash, the laundry machine company, and it was Senator Ferguson.
Yeah. So I know that he had been contacted at some point, but as far as follow-up.
I'll send you all the information from the previous center.
Thank you so much.
Next is the concrete smash between Virginia Street and Mansfield Bowl. That was an issue that was brought up. Former Senator Olmos. Did I say that right?
Yeah, almost.
Almost? Okay.
Almost.
it was awaiting, it was put on number 4 priority to be fixed, and it was awaiting a funding hearing, so just following up, seeing how that all turned out.
And I know a work order has already been submitted on that, so maybe before you submit a work order, just shoot an email over to facilities, see what their progress is already, because I know that that's on their radar already. So
it'll primarily be following up on how the funding hearing went and
okay.
How that turned out.
Yep.
Next, repaving the road in front of Fitzgerald's building. The service request was filled out, so we'll be following up to see how that turned out and so forth. Anybody interested? Senator Ramirez? This one is, the doors in the business building are hard to open. It was former Senator Bezek. He contacted Buildings and Grounds, but could not get a response. Is anybody interested? Senator Bolas? Now these two were former projects of Speaker Fabi. It was the, I don't know if you can speak, the work order was placed, but it was never confirmed that it was completed. It was the back right desk in LME 316 Squeaks and the Life and Arms building room 103.
Yeah, both of those are fixed.
Okay, awesome, cool. Expanding Brita hydration systems around campus. This was former Senator DeLeon.
Yeah.
And so he got a cost estimate for that. It would be a big project, seeing expanding it, but he got cost estimates from the company, so he's saying working that out with facilities or however that would be, but that would be a larger project. It's not just following up.
And I know he had a ton of information on that already.
And I have all that information to give to whoever.
Yeah.
Well,
because one of my constituents exactly spoke to me exactly about this issue and has been bringing up.
Okay.
I would also like to go.
Okay.
Group projects, I like it.
Next, I was wondering if everyone's all right if I take this, since this is one of my campaign goals, getting information on an email, a weekly email out to everyone with what activities are going on campus. Is everyone all right if I take that? Awesome.
One clarification. Mm-hmm. We already have that with, I know emails are sent to club members every week, and I know that I'm definitely emailed every week about upcoming events that are happening all around campus, whether it be in Travis or Joe or Polymer Engineering or just anywhere. I'm giving emails weekly about that.
Do you know what email listserv that is?
I can definitely check you.
Because I was kind of working on this with Senator Robertson a little bit. The idea was to consolidate like all campus events, all ASUN, non-ASUN events, in some kind of an email list so that students can sign up for. And if that already exists, then you know we should like make sure that they know.
Would you mind contacting me about that then later after the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Next, this was an issue. You need to follow up. The concern with the library app is no longer working. Farmer Center and Mac, Farmer Center and Wahlberg. Speak to that.
Your Mac? Yeah, I'll just talk
to you. Last. And this one would just be, because it's a large concern, getting EDU email addresses for every student. Obviously, it's already being worked on by Vice President. Ivy, thank you. So this would just be to have a senator involved in getting this, in getting involved in the process. This would be something long with no necessary end date. Anyone else interested? Because I know you already have Senator Bronstein.
All right, so we'll now move into agenda item 19B, fiscal year 15 budget proposal from the president. So, pending it being sent out, I'm seeking a motion to refer the fiscal year budget proposal from the president to the Committee on Budget and Finance. Senator Jonas?
So moved.
Is there a second? Senator Golez?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of doing so, please designate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so we'll now move to agenda item 20, comments and announcements. So, since we're only at 6:47 right now, so I know a few of you guys had pictures in a little bit, but I kind of just want to go around the table and do senator reports, just talk about kind of what you have been working on in the past couple weeks or so while you've been in office or what you intend to do, et cetera. So we'll start to my left, Senator McCrillet.
Well, I want to be on that committee of the Knowledge Center because I want to work on getting to be a 24-hour services as Joint Vision 2017. So that's like my goal right now.
I have
information
on that. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, so I talked to Rudy Leone for the library. She's like the outreach coordinator or something. And she said it's really infeasible for the library to be open 24/7 because to open one part of it is to open all of the library. And to open it for the extra 2 hours that it takes for a few weeks before finals for like 2 hours takes about $14,000, so it would be a lot of money just to open up the entire library. For a few hours, she said to look into the new student services, or not student services, the new student achievement center as a possible 24-hour space for students to study because there might be open rooms that could be closed off the rest of the building to allow student workers or somebody to stay in there for a lot cheaper than holding the whole network.
So one of my goals was to establish an alumni association for the College of Engineering. So what I've been doing is basically contacting like older engineers that are graduating within this year, and some of the professors who have like attended the university, and I basically just trying to set up like a exec board right now. So I have to contact former J, see if he's interested in doing that. So I've been working on that, and then.
Awesome. Senator Benford? I know, you know, you just got started here, but...
I've been becoming very acquainted into the position for the past week. It's been a lot of fun. Blast, actually, so far, just catching up on, like, legal documents, but also just getting to know all of you guys. I spoke with Caden yesterday about some of my goals, so I plan to get started in the summer to get a head start on all my plans that I have, so just trying to get those things.
Senator Warner?
You know, just making sure that everything runs smoothly with budget and finance. I know that's pretty important that we get the budget out and make sure that everybody knows about it. So that's enough. That's the main goal. And I just really want to make sure that the lines of communication between Senate and College of Business are clear and open. So I'm trying to just reach out to a few different people, make sure they know the happenings of what's going on here in Senate.
Awesome. Senator Brooke?
My biggest thing is I definitely want to try to get more people involved, whether that's more participation in elections, more people trying to actually run for office, whatever. I really want to see people actually appreciate ASUN and try to have their voices heard, and really that's going to be my driving force for this session.
Senator Jonas?
Kind of like, I guess, being one of my campaign goals, community shared agricultural program. I've been looking at other universities, and especially starting with our local area, California. I found the University of Pacific has specifically called Bon Appetit program, which is ensures they source things as locally as possible. So I'm going to be following up his emails as far as the people in charge of that program, but also just trying to synthesize all resources necessary to move forward with a similar program or propose a similar program for our university. And then with my goal of better managing the wool shop and their competition, not only with Amazon and online used bookstores, but specifically textbook brokers, I've been asking individuals I know who, like friends, and trying to reach out to as many people as possible, the reason they chose textbook brokers or kind of their knowledge at when they say the money getting back to you specifically, I'm asking, what does that mean to them? As far as do they need more specifics, or is that do they just see that as a self-appraisal?
Awesome. Senator Golez?
So running with the idea of getting a printer station in Nye, I asked the RHA council advisor if it was at all feasible to get people to maintain that, and he said it'd be feasible to get the people at the Nye desk to be able to do it. And he's all a bunch of people have also told me that logistically it's possible, but it would just cost a bunch of money. So there's that. And then also I'm going to talk to Dr. Blomquist within the next few weeks, just talk about Kavner and his involvement with ASUN, and hopefully the involvement with the Undergraduate Research Journal can help me get a better grasp on it, and I'm hopefully going to talk to Robert DiCarlo before he graduates about the Undergraduate Research Journal, see how he made it, how his aspirations for it and everything, and see how we can better advertise it to the students.
Awesome. Senator Bustos? I know, again, you just got started here, but we had a meeting. So
Friday, I'm meeting with some of the DHS advisors and just going over plans for what we can start doing this summer and just attending the last Nevada Bound to get some inputs from the ambassadors for this college.
Awesome. Senator Mojica?
So this last week, I met with Kaden, discussed some goals, went over what were my hopes and aspirations and what I wanted to do. I've kind of just been looking over ideas and generating new thoughts and see what
I'm doing. Awesome. Senator Petrillo?
I know a question of everybody's was my ability to represent and reach out to my constituents. I'm meeting with Kaden tomorrow at 4:30. I plan on meeting with Senator Sung on creating some goals that we can work together on. One of these ideas was on the University Affairs, we're going to be teaming up with the Academics Committee. I'm thinking the General Studies and Undeclared Majors could really benefit from the Major Exploration Day, possibly setting up an internship program for these students and a postgraduate employment in order for them to find their passion and find a job that really suits them. And I've also been appointed liaison liaison of the Director of Clubs and Organizations and the Director of Student Engagement. I'm going to be contacting.
Great. Senator Brownstein?
Cool. I have a lot of, I've been really working incredibly hard for my project. I really care about this a lot, so I've just been tearing this up. As I mentioned last time, I posed a budget to the Differential Fees Committee for computer monitors, computer towers, various furniture, some whiteboards to make a chemical engineering lab. And I'm in constant contact with the Dean of Engineering as well as, the Dean of Engineering as well as the Differential Fees Committee, the members on the committee. And I did hit a roadblock because the Differential Fees Committee met yesterday and everything was approved on the caveat that we need a room, and I submitted 5 rooms that would be good. All of them are not optimal for a lounge because not big enough, they don't have space, or it's just not close to the department. It was just to open up conversation, and luckily, I was feeling, I didn't know if this would make it much headway because I found rooms that didn't belong to the College of Engineering, so I needed to contact other colleges to see if we could like trade off to do some weird things. But it looks like with the Differential Fees Committee, the professors are on board to help me, and I have a lot of backing from students, constituents, as well as faculty members. So even though we don't have space, we're trying to find, make do with anything. And
Senator Christensen?
I've been doing a lot of work to get ahead of this tuition increase resolution. I just want to make sure that we have all of the research completed before we even really begin a conversation about whether or not it's good, so that we have all of the information to inform that decision. And I've probably been responsible for enough agendizing mistakes at this point to cause considerable concern, but I'm working on that. I only had one reported mistake on the last one, so
yeah, I think you're doing next week, just fine. All right, Senator Hood.
So, working with Senator Brooke on budget and finance, really one of my biggest goals is just going to be outreach to our constituents and to students on campus, getting them involved, and the best that we can within ASUN and within the different events we're hosting, and just getting students as engaged on campus as we can, providing the best experience for them that we can. And then within my own college, I've already been talking to some cabinet students who want to get involved with either the intern. I want to be able to get a little more information, get a little better informed on the internship program, because they had raised questions about how they could get involved with the senators, and they were interested in being members at large. And then I said, get back to them as far as the internship program and where that would go. So.
Cool. Senator Farabee? Senator Green?
Okay, so not to hype it up or anything, but I think my idea is pretty good. So my goal is to have a fundraiser, but I don't want to have a typical fundraiser. I want to do something that separates us from other schools, and I want to get a Guinness World Record while we're raising money. So I'm going to go talk to Shields and set up a board of people, and I'm going to set the world record for continuously riding a Ferris wheel. And so what I want to do, I mean, it sounds silly, but like, listen to that idea. It's fairly decent. So I want to go to a bunch of businesses around the around the location in like Sparks and in Reno, and I want them to contribute money for every hour that we sit on the Ferris wheel. So if we do it for like 10 hours, they'll contribute $100 for every hour for that 10 hours, essentially like guaranteeing that we would make a certain amount of money. But the thing that makes this idea so special is that I'm going to do it on November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and then I want all the proceeds to go to a veterans organization. So the big part of this is that I'm going to get all the clubs involved in it. I've already talked to the veterans organizations on campus, Wolfpack Vets, ODS, and NuFi. They're all on board to help. I've talked to my fraternity's president at SIGEP, and he's willing to have members of the fraternity be required to participate in community service hours for this, but I also want to set up a 5K for it so people can pay like $10 to enter, and then we would do it around the marina somehow. But essentially, it would just be one big day since nobody has school that day, and then since people are already going shopping because of the Veterans Day sales, I feel like this would be a prime opportunity for us to get the ASUN name out and the and members of the club to different clubs to work together. One of the other ideas with it is that we could get like maybe like the football coach or like, you know, the basketball coach to sit on the Ferris wheel for an hour to bring more people into it. And then my other project for creating a mentor program, I'm going to start that this summer. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Love it. Really love it. Like, that's like exactly kind of the things that I'm looking for here. Big picture things that really could allow us to impact the
community. And then my goal is to I want to raise personally at least $80,000, but I'm going to set the goal for $50,000. So
that's a lot of money. All right, Senator Minguez.
So mine isn't probably going to sound as a, but because you know we've been busy, so I've just been doing like research behind most of the work that or side projects that the committees I sit on. So you know, a tuition increase. I've been like researching that, and then also just like kind of developing ideas for projects. back to like civic engagement. So yeah, it's kind of just researching and kind of like developing kind of ideas of what I can do. Also, this summer I'll be working with Christina Cho, which is the director for recruitment for the College of Science, and we'll be seeing kind of like where this new program with NevadaFit is heading and how like we're going to, I guess, introduce these new science majors into the university, and I want to see like where ASUN can have a role in that. And then, you know, bigger picture for my college more specifically would be the Discover Science lectures. I want to make sure that those are being just not, you know, publicized in our college, but like all around campus. So I'll be working with Melissa Bell and seeing, you know, what's feasible. And yeah, that's basically it.
Great. Senator Sun?
So first thing would be we had our academics meeting today, and I got appointed to liaison to Kavner and the interdisciplinary program, so I'm going to have to contact them pretty soon. But what I've been doing since I've been appointed is, I know we've been throwing around the idea of like a major exploration day, so I actually went and asked some of like my constituents who are undecided or general studies whether this would be helpful or not, and the general reaction is that they would go if we had one, so I feel like this would be something that we could move forward with.
Great. Senator Crook?
Last week I've been going back to all the classes and clubs that I campaigned to, let them know I got elected, and try to create more interest in ASUN. I was like, you know, just kind of create a fun presentation, you know, why you should contact me over the next year kind of thing. Just let them know that I care about representing them, not just about getting their vote. then working on as far as my project goes, trying to create just a central location for all the services at UNR. One, I've been looking into the email with all the activities. Also, on university affairs, as vice chair, I'm hoping to really work with all the senators on the committee with the liaison positions to hopefully create maybe like a graph or a sheet, because we're all liaisoning to different parts of the university, and most of our goals is to discover all the programs in the departments we're liaisoning to. And so just hoping to use all that information to create just like a graph of everything at UNR, just passing around different ideas, conceptual ideas for the project. And I think that's it.
Great. Senator Mack?
Well, one of my goals was to continue the Safety Walk Initiative, so I've been meeting with former Senator Mack to figure out the best way to go about making sure that that can continue on through this year and once after I have left the position of senator.
Great. Senator Feenstra.
All right, so my big project was the STEM to STEAM initiative, and kind of, okay, I thought this was too ambitious of a goal, but after hearing the $80,000 that Senator Green is shooting for with his event, maybe I can do this in a year. My big thing with STEAM is that I want to get some sort of inter-university competition. It's kind of similar to the Concrete Canoe, in theory, I guess, not in practice, obviously, because that's for engineering. But I want to do some research into how I could possibly make that happen. I know Senator Christensen is interested in doing that with me, and we've had one brief conversation about it, so we're following through on that. And I also wanted to ask Senator Benford, because she was so excited about my possible blog, if she would like to work on that with me at some point. Perfect. All right, so those are my two big things.
Awesome. And just so you know, also, that meeting that Vice President Bybee mentioned this morning with the Chief Information Officer, we talked about Web Campus. Like, she actually asked us, like, well, what do you think of Web Campus? We were like, well, Web Campus is fine, but our issues are mainly with the student life section. Then we also brought up the discussion board and your idea with that. So we're going to be able to eventually move forward with that idea, and I'll talk to that person. So that's very exciting.
Thank you.
You guys get me excited. This is awesome. I'm really glad to hear that you guys are working on things substantial right now, some really great goals. Everything else going on, you know, there's nothing else more refreshing than going to a committee meeting and seeing you guys excited about your goals for this year. I have a couple of items for you guys. Business cards. Does anyone not want them? Does anyone feel like they're not going to use their 100 business cards? Okay, we'll get those ordered. A couple of things that I've been working on. This summer, we're probably going to be moving forward with kind of redesigning the Senate workroom, putting up a whiteboard wall, potentially kind of create a more a nicer environment for you guys to brainstorm and whatnot. Also looking at ordering a couple more big like poster things like those over there to make it look a little bit nicer, a little more modern within our offices. So that'll be happening. I'll have you guys a summer calendar out as soon as I can figure out a summer calendar, which hopefully will be after next week. As well with that, if you haven't signed up for your one-on-one meeting with me yet, please do so as soon as possible. Those are going to be starting pretty much tomorrow with those of you who were not recently appointed, so those of you guys who have been senators for, you know, 2 weeks at least. Sign up for those, please, so we can get those going in the next week. Check your email. There's important stuff going on right now. If you don't have it synced to your phone, do it. But even if you don't have it synced to your phone, check your email regularly. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, as you all know. And then lastly, make sure you know about your committee meetings. I think most of you guys know, and I've been kind of showing the new senators, but if you don't know what a committee meeting is, go on the Nevada ASUN website under upcoming meetings, public meetings. You'll see all the meetings right there that you need to go to. Remember, if you don't go to committee meetings, you're unexcused. We get points towards censure for that. So just keep that in mind. Stay organized, etc. And lastly, so next week, next Wednesday, we'll be moving forward. There will be a binding resolution on the table for the impeachment of President Pereira. As Attorney General Kish mentioned before, if that is approved, then we'll move forward. I've learned that we can actually do the trial with the Chief Justice in the same meeting, so I'll be over with next Wednesday regardless. With that, you know, a lot of things have really kind of come out of this whole entire situation. I think one thing in particular is that our governing documents really need some work. So GovOps, be ready. After this, we're going to be outlining everything that we need to if a situation like this were to ever come up again, because right now I requested an opinion for a reason. So that's that. And lastly, kind of a sad note with that, due to all of this and the appointments being forced to be pushed back and whatnot, I'm going to be rescheduling the road trip. It's not going to be at the current, you know, May 18th. It's going to be moved to a different time. Not sure if it'll be in Utah or not. We'll kind of see. It'll still be cool, I promise. It'll still happen. It's just not going to happen in May. And that's that. So, again, guys, the next week, please talk to me. My door is always open to talk to you guys about anything. That's what I'm here for. Completely genuine in saying that. I want you guys to be ready. I want you guys to feel comfortable more than anything. All right? So that being said, we'll move on to agenda item 21, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Director Rodriguez.
I have.
Oh, yes, finally. So this is the wonderful Shannon Ellis, in case you haven't met her yet. She's the Vice President of Student Services at our university. She's kind of a big deal. So I didn't want to introduce.
I didn't have much, but here's $20 towards your fair.
Oh.
Thank you. That's your startup package, is the president. You can do it. Because you got $20.
Isn't she great?
Right,
Director Rodriguez.
Well, I've been walking around when you guys are in the Senate chambers walking and saying, what's it like to be a senator? You guys are pretty excited. I agree with you, Hayden, that it's nice to have that energy in the office. On behalf of my staff and I, and really my colleagues in the Division of Student Services, I want to welcome you to our classroom. This is a classroom, okay? In most classes, maybe you're rewarded for having the answers, okay? In this classroom, you're going to be rewarded for asking really good questions, because in questions lie innovation and an ability to see into the future, okay? Don't get bogged down with the small stuff. This is big picture stuff. You've been elected into office by students who expect you to do for them what they can't do for themselves. Decorum. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate the decorum. If this is what Senate meetings are going to be like in the future, to me, there are some really bright, thoughtful people sitting around this table who will understand the value of interacting with their audience and of, you know, pontificating some really important things that are going to be brought to you in the future. Please, please don't leave decorum behind. It's important. I have to tell you this. Do not take for granted the shared governance that is being exemplified to you and for you by the administration on this campus and others of the governing bodies. At the University of Nevada, there's a reason why we have the Enid Miller Award. In the 1960s, the students came together and created or opted to have Enid Miller Day because he believed so strongly, he was the president of the university at the time, that decisions should be made in shared governance that in the tumultuous times of the 60s, it was pretty calm at the University of Nevada. Why? Because people talked to one another, governing bodies talked to one another. And I have to share this story with you. I was preparing for the meeting and I got a quick text message from a colleague of mine at the University of New Mexico. I know I shared with you guys that I was at the University of New Mexico before I came here. And he goes, "You're not going to believe this. The students were protesting all day today. We can't get the president of the university to talk to the students." He goes, "What's going on over there?" I said, "Oh, our president is coming to the school." That was it. No more texting. So don't take it for granted. Embrace it. You know, accept the accountability and responsibility that comes with that shared governance. And the just do it. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to learn and to grow not only on your own, but within a community of scholars. Okay? Senator Brownstein, I just think it's cool. He plays in a mariachi band. So I show up to the DFS dinner because I'm supposed to be the speaker there, and in walks Senator Brownstein. He plays the guitarron. And I'm like, "I know you. Aren't you a senator?" And he's like, "Yeah, and I'm a mariachi." Guys, each of you, okay, your identities are comprised of many, 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 many different things that create that identity. I would like it if you could come to ASU every day and bring the totality of those identities with you, all right? With the understanding that you've been elected by undergraduate students to represent them, okay? Those are the identities that cannot be here at this table. I'm asking that you respect that. The more this body is able to create a university, a college, where people can come here and embrace all of who they are and be proud of who they are, the richer a community of scholars that you build, okay? I would love it if one day I could leave here and I could leave knowing that students come to this campus every day and they bring all of themselves with them. They don't have to hide any part of it, you know? I think an important part of the conversation that's going to ensue over the next couple of weeks is, you know, why can't we just bring all of ourselves to the table, right? I would strive for that to happen for you in your role as an officer of the association. I would hope you would strive to do the same for the other 15,000 students on this campus. I'm asking you for courage in this coming year, okay? I know you're going to be able to rise to the occasion. You're under great leadership, so good luck to you.
Any other public comment at this time? All right, guys. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 7:14 p.m.